We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We got to get back into Pat Mahomes at some point before 2 o'clock as he signed a deal that could make him $500 million with the Chiefs over the next 10 years. You just heard some of the news of the day from Earl. We'll hit on those things again, including Bradley Beal not participating with the Wizards in their 8 games in Orlando. Juan Soto, Howie Kendrick among those not playing at practice today with the Nationals, and the expectation is that Soto, who we know is kind of being quarantined, and those other guys might have to pass a couple more tests before they can get back on the field because they came in contact with somebody who has been tested positive for COVID-19. So that's all coming up on G&D. But right now we're talking about whether or not the Redskins will change their colors when they change their name and their logo. And Danny, how about this? Two things I came up with during this little break here thinking about this. The first is, I think Dan Snyder will change the colors for revenue purposes. Because if he stays with burgundy and gold, then people just keep wearing their burgundy and gold gear. And you see FedEx from that aerial shot or walking into the stadium with people, you look around, you can't tell what's Redskins or what's, you know, red tails or whatever if it's burgundy and gold. But if you go red, white, and blue, you go with this new look, this fresh coat of paint, everyone's going to have to either eventually convert to that gear. Little by little, the burgundy and gold goes away. He's going to do whatever he can to make the most money possible. That means the best logo, the best name, whatever that is. But don't you think if you stick with burgundy and gold, then there's way less reason for fans to go out and get the merchandise because they can just blend in. Whereas if you actually change the name, it's going to not the name or the logo, but the color rather, it's going to be very obvious with just a quick glance into the stadium, like who's made the conversion and who hasn't.
This is a good point by you. And I know what I want, but what I want and what's best for business are different things. And that's one of the beautiful things about this country. You're perfectly allowed to do, you know, to make those kinds of decisions, right? Where you're trying to maximize profit. That's what companies should do. You should do it thoughtfully. And the case you're making as to why it's going to happen that way makes a lot of sense to me. Now, for me, my preference is the uniforms are wonderful and they should be kept the exact same and there's no need to adjust them. Your point, though, is, then what incentive would a Skins fan, again, whatever the new name is, I don't know what to call them yet, what incentive would they have to go buy something new when your Redskins jersey is going to suffice? You're still wearing your classic Theismann, your Riggins, your Monk, your Chris Hamburger, your Jurgensen, whatever. You're still going to rock that to the stadium if and when you're going or when you're out in public. So there's no need necessarily to update. You would want folks to feel the public pressure when you go to the stadium in your old school jersey. If everyone else is in the, you know, the new red and whites or the new blues, then, you know, maybe you got to do that. But yeah, that is a good case for why it's going to happen. I know I still don't want it to happen, but I get the idea. Everyone's tweeting us. I'm at Funny Danny. You're at Grant H. Paulson. The folks that are saying, once you change that name, and that's happening, we all kind of agree that that's pretty much a done deal, you got to just start anew. You got to just wipe it clean, wipe all the records, and just start with something brand spanking new. I get that. It's compelling. It is a good case.
I'll tell people that the guest we had on at 11:30 today, Mike Richman, who's an encyclopedia when it comes to Redskins history and actually wrote the encyclopedia at one point on the Redskins, he is not 100% convinced that they changed the name. I mean, he said it's about 80%, but it was the first person I've heard, and I kind of followed up. I said, wait a second. You saw the statement I did. You're not sure? And he said, it's hard to know exactly what Dan Snyder thinks or will do. But he thinks there is some chance that, I guess they could keep the name. But you're right. I think most of us say the name, the logo will be changed. You can listen to the interview with him. He talked about the history of the name Redskins and had some anecdotes about the team paying respect to Native Americans. You can grab the podcast or go back and rewind on radio.com. 800-636-1067 is the number. The other thought I had, in addition to just the money part of this, and you're going to generate way more purchases of merch if you change the colors, was it's going to, I think, hinge on the name. Like, let's say they go to the Hogs, and they're just the Washington Hogs. The burgundy and gold theme carrying over with the name completely works. Why would you change anything? I mean, you still have people dressed up in their gear and the Hogs, the noses and everything. Whereas if you go to, whether it's one of those things with red at the beginning or like if you're the Generals, you know, if you are, I'm just trying to think of some of the random names I've heard, like the Monuments.
The Monuments. You
know, if you're the Washington Monuments, red, white, and blue makes sense. If you're the Generals, then yeah, you should go with a different look. But if you're the Hogs, then sticking with burgundy and gold probably is a must. So I would say maybe the name is very much going to be a factor in whether or not
in
they change the colors.
In what you end up doing. No, it makes sense.
Let's go to Chris in Leonardtown online too. Chris, you're on Grant and Danny. Thanks for the call, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How about yourselves?
Good, buddy.
All right, good. Listen, I have a couple suggestions. One is I kind of think that the burgundy and gold, when you think of burgundy and gold, you think the team. I mean, Elvis, Madonna, Cher, burgundy and gold. You think, boom, right away. You know it, so I can't see changing it. Silver and black, Raiders. Okay, it is who it is. It's important, and it keeps some history, some link to the past. My other thought is, I heard this somewhere, and maybe I'm missing the mark here, but somebody suggested Braveheart, and I like that name because that can still. You don't necessarily have to change the logo. I don't know that the logo – I don't find if you're honoring a nationality of people, you know, is it a bad thing to use a logo that – because I think the Redskin is kind of majestic. So that's just my thought.
Appreciate
Thanks,
the
buddy.
Call.
They're going to steer
I
clear of that.
I think keeping the logo is going to be a non-starter,
right.
to be honest with you. And Danny, I'll tag you in here, but I just feel like that would not feel like they've made a big enough adjustment. I'm not telling you what needs to be done or should be done or preaching to anybody. I'm just reacting to the world as it is right now and to this conversation as it is this second and what we know it to be. To keep the logo and to keep a Native American-themed name, I'm just not sure if that's going to be seen as good enough.
Yeah, if that's one of those where you turn in your rough draft to your English teacher and she X'd it up and said, no, use a dictionary, use a thesaurus, this doesn't make sense, this is grammatically wrong, etc., and you just change the title and turn it back in. That's what that would be. Like, they're going to go far away from that. Is if you're going to change it, you're going to change it. You're not going to tweak it. You're not going to, you know, just, you know, add a feather to the logo. You know what I mean? Like, there's, and I'm not trying to be flippant about it. You're going to make a dramatic change if you're going to change it. So you don't have to do this again in 5 years when something that's not offensive now is offensive then. I mean, that's
well,
the
that's
way we
the key,
go. So
I
there's
think,
no
to
way.
Dan, right? I mean, yeah. Dan Snyder doesn't want to be doing this now. He doesn't talk, so we don't know how he actually feels, but we know what he said in 2013, and I know what people have told me over the years as recently as yesterday in recent conversations they've had with him. And I do not believe, based on anything that I've been told, that his opinion has changed. I don't think he has interest in changing the name. I think he's going to, begrudgingly. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be, essentially, the word I'll use is forced to change the name. But he's not going to change the name in a way that will allow for him to go through this process again. He's not going to do it in a way where in 10 or 12 years he feels like there is a chance that people can get upset with the name that he chooses and force him to do it a second time since he bought the team in the late 90s. Let's go to Kevin in Oakton on line 3 on Grant and Danny. Kevin, thank you for the call, sir. How are you?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Good, dude.
Doing great.
So I was thinking, I kind of like the name, the Washington Freedom. I do think we should change the colors to the red, white, and blue so all the teams match. But I like the Freedom. I thought it could be something like Home of the Free, and you could have, like, Let Freedom Ring as part of the slogan. So that was just kind of my thoughts.
Gotcha, buddy.
Washington Freedom. Which team? The defunct women's
freedom?
Soccer team, I think, was the Freedom before they were the
Spirit?
Spirit, which they are now. Am I wrong about that? I think Mia Hamm played for the Washington Freedom.
That smells like a Pete Medhurst trivia question. I couldn't confirm nor deny that that wasn't
Thommy
the case.
Thommy is confirming
it
what I'm putting down. Thommy's
yeah,
telling
it felt
me
familiar
I'm
right. To me. Mm-hmm. I buy it. I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling. There's no way with the name thing. Everybody's got a suggestion. Go. You know what kind of sounds okay? Is that it's hard to get excited about any of the names. You know, I think it's just whatever.
You don't like any of them.
It's hard to get excited about it. The ones I'm excited about, I've already stated. Bullets would I think would win the most people over, and it would be awesome. It'll never happen. That's the one seed. Hogs would get me pretty excited. Other than that, anything else just feels like a compromise or you're trying to cater to something. I don't get excited about any of the other names.
More people like the name Hogs. I don't know. I would have thought that that would have been what everyone's clamoring for. What am I missing about that? I mean, is it as simple as like the immature nature of like, you know what Hogs are? I mean, like, what am I missing about this?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why that didn't have more momentum. I don't know why it didn't make the
odds
makers list. I would
have thought everyone would have wanted that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it should have been one of the first suggestions. I haven't heard anybody get after that. Nobody. Nobody, you know, maybe someone would bring it up. They go, no, let's talk about these like concepts or monuments or federal buildings or Bureau of Printing and Engraving. You know, the Washington Agricultural Bureaus. Like, it's so weird what people are sort of circling around at this point to me.
It's funny, too, like what names people will really like that other people will look at and go, that is such a terrible idea. Like the one that has grown on me a lot, and I know that you think this is so cheesy and terrible, and that's cool. I get that, is monuments. Like I don't know why I get a little bit steamed up for the idea. And on the helmet, it's going to be the most basic helmet ever. It's like a white helmet or a red helmet or something with the other color is just the shape of the Washington Monument on both sides of the helmet. And they're the monuments. I just think it would be so silly. Maybe you have like a DC on the like the letters DC right at the tip of the monument or something. But that one has grown on me, and I say that, and people are like, "Oh my God, that's awful."
Yeah,
but
that's my least favorite
one. It's
almost
like naming. It's like naming kids. You know, it's like yeah. I really like this name, and someone's like, "Oh, I would never name my kid that."
I really
it's
like Chartreuse.
For
do you?
Them
yeah.
To come up with something that everybody's going to like. It's just
well,
not
you know
going to happen.
You know what I think of, and it's not fair at all, but when you say monuments or whatever, I think of Bryce Harper doing his like human hashtag routine where he was like, it's such a monumental city. You know, that's the thing about it. I love D.C. It's such a monumental city. And everyone just cringing because it's just so painful and pandering and awkward. That's how it would feel to me. It feels like that.
I guess I'm not even thinking about the word monumental, like monumental sports, or it's not the Washington Monumentals. I'm thinking of we have a lot of monuments here. That's what we have. We have the Washington Monument. Let's do that. Put it on the helmet. I think it would be a really cool logo on the helmet too. But I get it. I get that everyone hates it, and it probably is a terrible idea. But it's just a lot of terrible ideas.
That's it.
Part,
exactly. It's a lot of terrible ideas.
You know, you lived for 5 seconds in 2020. Nobody's that nice when you pitch an idea publicly. Everyone hates everything. 800-636-1067. We will wrap up our calls on whether or not the color scheme needs to change with the name and the logo next right here on the Fan. Danny, I know your interest in this is probably minuscule, but I saw pictures last night of the octagon set up at Fight Island for the UFC event this weekend. I think the big fights are on the 12th. It looks really, really cool. Basically, it's on the water, on a beach. And so there's no one there. There's no, like, room for a crowd or anything. I guess they might have some assembled bleachers or something. I'm not really sure what the protocol is in Abu Dhabi. But basically, that there's, like, some apartments that are overhanging the octagon, you know, 50 yards or so away where you could be out on your balcony, like, watching the fight or something. But it just looks really, really, really cool. And following some of the fighters on social media, as they've traveled there, you know, they're getting woken up every couple hours through the night to test, and you know, they're going to be fighting on, obviously, our time in Abu Dhabi, so they're trying to sleep weird hours and blackout curtains being used to try to keep them on the right schedule. So it's a massive undertaking for the UFC, and it's not even that necessary anymore, I don't think, with you know, some of the sports returning here, but it's kind of for the show of it, and it's fun for Dana White to put this event on, maybe, I don't really know. It's definitely a massive undertaking, but, man, it looks really, really cool. Just from an optics standpoint, like if you see some of the pictures online, I think you'll think it looks pretty neat.
I bet it looks neat. I mean, again, good for them to sort of figure out a way to get some attention when nothing else was going on. I didn't know it was this weekend, so that's I guess that's a big deal. Well, everybody else is still fighting and trying to figure it out. He seems to have, talking about Dana White, you know, to put events on, to put you know, these exhibitions on. So that's smart, man. That's what you should be doing at this point. Every sport that, you know, wants to get more of the public sector should be trying to find a way to do what he's doing. I mean, that guy is pretty good at what he does.
Well, the big story out of it, too, and it kind of worked out in Dana's favor a little bit, is that they had a fighter who's not able to fight now. So in one of their main events, Kamaru Usman, who's one of the stars of the sport, has to fight probably the biggest star going other than McGregor, Jorge Masvidal. So he's been added to this card. So all of the fights are going to take place there. I don't know. I think there are three of them in terms of nights worth of fights. He'll be the biggest star that fights. He wasn't even supposed to originally go there. He was just added to the card at the last minute. So it added a lot of intrigue and anticipation to the bouts that are coming up. But we'll see if they can pull it off without a hitch. But I'll tell you, from what I had originally heard, this idea of Fight Island to actually seeing it play out, it looks like a TV show set, like Survivor or something. I think they did a really, really cool, good job with it. Let's go to the phones. We're wrapping up our calls on the Redskins. They're changing their name and their logo. What about the colors? Should they change burgundy and gold to something else? Maybe be themed red and white or red, white, and blue like the Nats, the Caps, the Wizards are in town, so that we have that Pittsburgh feel of all of our sports teams wearing the exact same colors. Let's go to Joe in Baltimore on line six. What's up, Joe? How are you doing? Thanks for the ring.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call. I got a quick question before I get to your take, or my take on your question. Rather, so they're going to change the name, all that stuff, and let's say they do change the jerseys and all that stuff. I mean, I just bought this really cool Daryl Green, Mitchell and Ness authentic jersey. If I wear that out, am I going to get called a bigot?
It's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, honestly. I don't think right away. I don't think for a while. You wouldn't think,
right.
But again, the general feeling won't be animus, but there may be some. I mean, that's what's, there's such a loud group on any issue, Joe, that will scream at you because you don't say the exact right thing or do the exact right thing in that time. You know, even if
right.
There's no
yeah.
malintent, even if there's nothing negative about what you're attempting to do or not attempting to do. You bought this jersey. This is the team. And you haven't had time to update your gear or spend $130 on a brand new Chase Young
maybe
jersey.
It's not about updating your gear. Maybe he loves Daryl Green.
Right.
And unless they're going to sell Daryl Green Washington Red Tail jerseys, that's how you can rock your Daryl Green jersey. Now, people
right.
that would call you a bigot for wearing that jersey, now that's destructive in a way as well. You know who's a bigot is a bigot. You know who's a racist is a racist. A guy that's wearing a Daryl Green jersey, that doesn't make you a bigot. Now, if they want to have a conversation with you and talk to you, and then they find out, well, you're actually a bigot, then they get to call you a bigot. But to me, that's not helping anybody. That's just as destructive. So my reaction to that, without giving it a lot more thought, would be, no, I don't think that wearing that jersey makes you a bad guy all of a sudden. But we'll see how, as we continue to advance and evolve years from now, how we look back on that gear and whether or not it gets boxed up and isn't allowed worn out in public. I don't really know what the trend will be in the future on that.
Okay, and then to answer your question, I guess the colors, I really love the burgundy and gold color scheme. I think they should keep that. I think it would look – I just don't like red, white, and blue. I don't know, on all those team colors. And then the team name, I love the name Hogs. I'm a big proponent of Hogs. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, dude.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think it would be a
really good team name. No, I'm just saying I think that's a great name. And people joke and say, you can't call them the Hogs. You can't do that. I mean, Joe Jacoby and Mark May and Russ Grimm, they say otherwise. I think to have a first game where they're the Washington Hogs and those guys come out of the tunnel with waving flags of the new logo over their heads with the team behind them, I would be jacked up. And I think a lot of people that are sad that they aren't going to be the Redskins anymore would be really happy about that. And the people that want the name changed should also be happy about that. And you wouldn't have to change the colors. You were laughing, though. What were you laughing about?
Oh, just it's because I've been getting all sorts of tweets about how excited I would be about the Hogs, and everybody's making fun of me. You could probably guess why. But I will also say that, and I thought this was interesting, by the way. Somehow a Dallas Cowboy fan infiltrated my Twitter feed. Grant, But he made a very sensible point as a Cowboys fan. He was very reasonable about this. He said, talking about colors, Washington needs to keep burgundy and gold. We've been trained to hate those colors the same way you guys hate blue. Be similar, then if you just went red, white, and blue in some shade, you'd be similar to the Giants, Cowboys, Patriots, you know, every other team that goes through one of the basic color patterns, right? The you don't want creamsicle. You don't want like orange or like teal or crazy color jerseys. This is not, you know, the future games. And if you just go generic, you're the same as a lot of organizations. You just kind of have to, you know, when the Giants are wearing their blues, a little bit of red accent and some white, you could be that. I don't want that. And I thought that was a good point to kind of keep that branding.
800-636-1067 is the number you can call. That is what. Hey, buddy, not right now or right now? Which would you?
No. I was talking to some solicitor at my door. Oh my gosh.
Not now, buddy.
Hey, I was a longtime season ticket holder, and I got off that train a couple years ago. But I have some real strong feelings about this. If they're going to change the name, I say change everything. I do like the red, white, and blue to be more consistent with the other teams in the area. But I also hope that they will select a name that is in no way associated with any race, ethnic group, or nationality. That's because somebody's going to have a problem somewhere down the line, and just make it something neutral. Now, I'm going to say a name that I saw, and I think you guys are going to hate it, but I do like it, the Washington Football Club. I think you can do a lot of things with that. You could have DC, FC, you know, logos, all sorts of things. But nothing with any that can be associated with any race, ethnicity, or nationality. That's my thoughts, and let's go with red, white, and blue. Thanks for taking my call. Wait for your comments.
Thanks, buddy.
Gary, thank you, buddy.
Give me right now.
I sent a note to Tom, and I said, you won't put not right from Gary and Olney in the sound machine where all this, like, Wadson says, absolutely not. And Gary says, not right now.
Not right now. That was
poor,
funny.
Poor solicitor that came to his door. I mean, it was just, he went after him a little bit there. This is going to shock him, and I think it'll even surprise my co-host, Danny Huhe, who thinks he knows me. I really like the idea of the Washington Football Club. I do. Now, a lot of people are doing it, I think, in a shticky way that I don't quite endorse, as if to belittle the movement, and they're saying, like, you know, do this because, you know, this is what Mike Florio and Peter King call them anyway, the Washington team or whatever. I'm not going that route completely, but you see this in soccer a lot, and I know some people that are anti-soccer maybe won't want it because it sounds soccery, but I just think it sounds cool. Washington FC or football club, I think it feels like old school sportsy to me. And I agree with him in the DCFC thing. I think you could do some things with the letters and whatnot. I don't think it'll be popular, but I do like the idea, and I'll bet a lot of people will be surprised because I'm not a soccer guy.
I wonder if they're going to beat Tottenham this week in the Premier League. It's a soccer team name. No, I like soccer. I like USA soccer. I don't really watch you know, MLS or a lot of European soccer, but I'm not anti-soccer by any stretch of imagination. That's what it sounds like. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for the Washington Redskins football team to all of a sudden be, you know, like Dallas FC or teams that are trying to sound European. That is the hardest of passes for me.
Do you hate it, or yeah, you're just, you can't quite endorse it?
Active hatred.
Are you surprised that I like it?
Yes, incredibly so. Frankly, incredibly surprised.
Because me, Dar, and Thommy all like that one. Now, Dar, it's so obvious. I mean, he was going to love that from Jump Street. But Thom and I are in as well.
Yeah, Dar wants to just call him Bournemouth and get it over with. I mean, that's what he would love to do.
Right. Yeah. He's going to call them Manchester.
Washington United Football Club.
Right. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. There's a couple things I still want to hit with you in our final half hour today, including Major League Baseball's return in peril right now as the sport tries to get its act together with testing and what that means for the Nats. Some news out of Nats camp today, not ideal. You are listening to The Fan with the Comrex that won't die. It has officially died. It is over, Danny.
Do you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I do, actually. I want to thank the Comrex for a job well done, first and foremost. It lived an unbelievable life. It was terminally ill and given 6 months to live, and it basically lived like 3 years. It was on borrowed time, and I thank it for its efforts. And wow, what an amazing, amazing last couple of years it had that doctors never gave it a chance to experience. So thank you for getting us through yesterday's show and most of this show, even though The Wire somehow still hasn't showed up. Hopefully it won't be an issue tomorrow.
I'd like to share a couple things about Calm. He lived more in these last 2 days than a lot of us live in a lifetime. And, you know, Calm, I think of all the different things that he wanted to do and the goals that he set. And he got the news that, you know, hey, you're on red, man, and you're going to go. And he just didn't. He wouldn't quit. He was a fighter. And we appreciate everything he's done for us and done for this show. And rest in peace, Mr. X. You will you'll be missed until tomorrow, presumably, when a court comes. But anyway, the point is, you did a lot, man. And we're forever in your debt. Peace out.
Think about the fact, though, that when we yesterday all decided it wasn't going to make it till 2, we all thought by like 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:10, it was going to be cooked. We would never get to the end of the show. We almost made it 2 full shows, basically running on empty. This is the equivalent of going on a road trip, like a 2.5-hour drive, when your car, when you start, is basically on, you know, a quarter tank of gas. And we almost got to the driveway before the darn thing turned off. Started sputtering and just pulled over on the side of the road. We did it, man. We did it together.
It's unbelievable. We Thelma and Louise this thing. I thought it's stressful, right? Because it's hard to explain. Like, if I know in advance that you're not going to be there and it's just me, I've been doing this a while, I could do it. I think the same goes true for you, right? You've been doing this for even longer than I have. You could host a show by yourself, no problem. There's something jarring about when it happens unexpectedly, though. I don't know how to explain that exactly. Like you've turned a car, but when you have to turn a car in a hurry when someone's like, right there, it just freaks you out. It's different. So every second for the last 2 days, I've basically been sitting there, like at the starting block, looking up at the guy with the starting gun, waiting to have to just sort of carry it and do it solo, because I keep thinking the Comrex is going to drop out. And the fact that it didn't for 2 days, 3 hours, and 30-plus minutes is amazing.
I can't wait to go back and air check this segment, though, to see how it sounds. Like, I don't know how I sound in your ears at all or how I sound for people in their car speakers.
Sounds different than it did before.
Sounds what?
It's different than it was before.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Hey, Grant, imagine if you had a tin can and then a wire and it was connected to Danny. That's what it sounds like.
So not quite the same, huh? But I'm on a cell phone with like an earpiece. You know, you put earbuds into a droid or whatever, and it's got like the little mic that hangs down. So when you walk your dog, you can talk into that. Like, that's the technology I'm now using with this app. So I just can't wait to go listen and see how it sounds, because it is officially a wacky. Although it looks like, I thought maybe the delivery truck was outside, but just another big truck. I want to play this audio, Danny, and I want you to react to this with me. I have not heard it in full, but I know what it is, and I've seen a clip of it, and it's my favorite thing that happened on the radio this week. Mike Francesa yesterday went through the schedule of the Yankees and the Mets when it came out. And when I say he went through the schedule, I mean he went through every game, including the off days, just reading the schedule, which hopefully people took out pens and paper to write it all down, because obviously you can't find it online in 2020 anywhere.
It's
Can
amazing.
You be more antiquated in the radio program you're doing? Listen to this. This is great.
Now, the baseball schedule. Here's the Mets schedule. All righty. 24-26 Atlanta. Then the Red Sox, then at the Red Sox, then home Red Sox, then at the Braves, then at the Nationals, then off, then Marlins home, Nationals home, at the Phillies, at the Marlins, home to the Yankees, off, Marlins at the Yankees, August 31st off, at the Orioles, off, Phillies, Orioles home, September 10th off, at the Blue Jays, September 14th off. At the Phillies, Braves, Tampa, at the Nationals. So that's what the Medoff days are, the following: August 6, August 24, August 31, August September 3, September 10, September 14. The season ends the 27th of September. Begins on the 24th at home against Atlanta. And after they play Atlanta three games, they will be in Boston and then home to the Red Sox. So they will go Atlanta, Boston, Boston, Atlanta. Was it Yankees? All right, here's the Yankees, okay. At Washington, at Philly, home Philly, home Red Sox, at Orioles, at Rays, home Braves, Red Sox, Rays, at the Mets, at the Braves, home Mets, home Rays, at the O's, at the Jays, home Orioles, home Jays, at the Red Sox, at the Jays. They close with three against the Marlins at home. Off days for the Yankees: August 10, August 14, August 24, August 27, September 3, September 14.
Off days for the Mets. Off days for the Yankees. What on earth is that accomplishing? Like, other than killing time, other than just saying, I got to be on air for an hour and a half today, so if I read the schedules, that'll give me 4 minutes. I mean, think about that. Who is that benefiting? In what way is what he just did instructive at all? He's just naming teams. But he didn't even give dates. He didn't even reference
anything. He started giving dates, and then he got tired of doing that. He goes,
for the first couple series, but then he's like,
O's, Braves,
Marlins away, Red Sox. He's just naming teams. That's all he's doing. Play Red Sox home, Marlins away, Pirates home, Brewers away. Who does that help? And do you not think that I can't find this on Twitter in 6 seconds?
So like,
why
Phil
is that
and,
a topic?
Yeah, Phil in Queens is going, Mike, somebody tell me when they're off days. When are the off days? And then he goes, oh, okay, Mike's going to do it. He's going to do it. Off days, it was follows July 31st, September 4, 9, 24. Oh, thank you. I know the off days, honey. Mike just told us. Unbelievable. What on earth is going on? Who is that serving?
Francis, when are we going to be able to go to the beach? Hold on. Hey, Mike, can you give me the off days?
Yankees off days, August 2, September.
There's 3. A lot of days, Danny, where I feel like, you know, because we work hard on the rundown and we prep our show and we take it really, really seriously. But there are days like any job, you know, where you're better than other days or whatever. And I'm kind of feeling bad about either myself or the show, or I'm feeling like, you know, me and Danny, we gotta do a better one tomorrow. It's just great to hear something like that.
Reminder.
You know, from a legend in this industry who makes so much money to know we're not doing that bad. This little show we're doing, it's not that terrible. By the way, the FedEx guy just showed up. So I'm going to go grab the wire and see if I can finish the show back on Comrex. We're great, okay. Danny. Radio show on a cell phone bit was short-lived, Danny.
Oh, man.
Comrexville.
I wanted to do the bits where I said, Grant, what do you think of that? And you go, that's interesting.
That's real interesting.
Back to you.
Tell me more, Danny. Yeah. Well, Comrex had other ideas. It just didn't want to die. And then the FedEx guy wanted to get here. So it all worked out for us. But
long live Comrex, too.
It's weird, man. The technology, though, at our disposal now, if you think about it, like, via cell phone app, we could do a broadcast with a earbud microphone, like thing you wear while you're walking your dog that we found in a coin drawer last night at the in-laws' house. Like, that's how you could do a radio show now. Not that it's going to sound great, but you can pull it off if need be.
You can do it.
Just wacky times. Good for us, I suppose. Every day, final segment, we give you this date in Nats history. It is July 7th, 2020. So we got to go back 3 years today to 2017. Remember how great Daniel Murphy was with the Washington Nationals.
Yep.
Daniel Murphy stayed with his team. Legendary, dude. I mean, he was so good with the Washington Nationals. Well, one of his big swings in the regular season came on this date, a walk-off single in the 10th inning. Danny will take you down memory lane on the other side.
They're playing the infield back in the middle, hoping for a ground ball double play. The outfield is shortened up. Anything over their heads ends the game. Here's the set for Kroll. The pitch to Murphy. Swinging a fly ball left field. Sending Kemp back. This one's over his head. And the Nationals will win the ball game. Sanchez comes down to score. Daniel Murphy wins it with an RBI single. Nationals 5, Braves 4. What a comeback here tonight. Down 3 in the bottom of the ninth. They send it to extras. And Murphy wins it with a walk-off single over the head of the left fielder Matt Kemp here in the 10th.
Murphy was unbelievable. Mike Rizzo was right at every step of the way about him, both the length of the contract, what they gave, and then the decision not to re-sign him, thinking that maybe his usage date had kind of expired, and that's sort of been proved correct. By the way, just for fun, top of the order that day, Brian Goodwin, 0 for 5. Ryan Rayburn checks in with 0 for 2. That was a classic Dusty Baker lineup. But Daniel Murphy overcoming all that to win the Nationals yet another game on their march to a division title.
Danny, I realize that what I'm about to ask you sounds stupid.
Go on.
But Pat Mahomes signed a 10-year, $500 million contract with possible incentives. It's about $450 million outright, guarantees $140 million. Should he have signed it, or should he have gone shorter term? Maybe a five-year crazy contract at 40 or 45 per. And he's going to have to basically take pay cuts and reassess that contract every few years. Would you have gone the Cousins Prescott shorter term model, or do you like the way that he went about this? Because he might cost himself money, believe it or not, in the long run.
It's a philosophical question. I love guarantees. I love years. I love security. I've always operated that way. Some people don't. And for a guy that's that good, you've got the ultimate leverage. You could do the dance every year, like Cousins played it, like Dak Prescott's doing now, and as the best player in football, maybe, the most important position, certainly hold your team, over the barrel each and every season. But I'm always inclined to go the route that Mahomes did. A, he reset the market. B, he got the most money. It might get superseded at some point. But C, I love, if I'm him, worst case scenario, like I God forbid, I hurt myself really badly, I've still got a lot coming to me over a long time and they can't get rid of me. I would certainly opt for that route.
So I think I would do what Cousins and what Prescott are doing if I was comfortable living that way. But like you, it's hard for me. I'm a look over your shoulder at times guy. Maybe it's the industry we're in, but I'm not a big fan of taking days off and not being on air. You just never know. So I get why you just want that commitment. But if you're Pat Mahomes, you're going to be locked and loaded.
You'll be fine. Yeah.
He's going to be okay whether he signs for 3 years at 45 a pop or whether he signs this contract. An amazing record breaker out of the NFL. More on the Nats situation, what's going on with Juan Soto and Howie Kendrick. Missed practice today on Chad's show, I'm sure. For Thommy Dar and Danny Grant, saying so long and thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.